Oklahoma wanted him to be the champions. Oklahoma invented him.
Excellence has been established by Coach Wilkinson, Coach Switzer, and Coach Stoops. It's my responsibility to defend that standard and to build upon that standard.
Welcome to the Oklahoma Trail Podcast with your hosts, Jesse Crittenden and Brian Clement.
Hello, Sooner Nation, OU Insider subscribers, Coach Brian Clinton enthusiasts, people who are counting the days. I think it's 50 days away from football in Norman, Oklahoma. This is the podcast for you. This is another episode of the Oklahoma Drill, a podcast fueled by OU Insider and the Rivals Network. I am Jesse Crittenden, and I am joined, as always, by Mr. Camo Man himself, Coach Brian Clinton. Brian, I can't see the upper part of your torso. I can only see your head.
Yeah.
What's going on there?
Green Don't you screen, love that joke? Man. Just green screen.
Don't you love that camo joke?
Yeah, it's a good one.
Is that actually even camo?
No, it's just a comfortable fishing hoodie.
Why did I say camo?
It is a camo pattern, but it's not like I wouldn't wear this if I was going hunting. It's not legitimate camouflage, but it is a camo pattern. So I mean, you're right, but
So I grew up in Stillwell, Oklahoma, and hunting is a big thing there. My family got a whole family of hunters, and I've never actually gone hunting. Now I've gone fishing multiple times, many times growing up, but okay. I've never actually been hunting. And I think I just showed my lack of expertise in this intro. I should have checked with you before. Brian, we are here to talk about SEC Media Days. It is Monday through Thursday, and OU is going on Tuesday. I don't know if you knew this, but OU is officially in the SEC, and this is their first time going to SEC Media Days. And while people who've never been to Media Days events, I can tell you that they're usually just a lot. They're just a lot and not always the most compelling. And you kind of know what to expect ahead of time. Fortunately, this year, Brian, this Media Days brings a whole lot of new stuff. This feels pretty monumental. I mean, first time for the SEC with 16 teams. Obviously, it's OU and Texas's first time to be at the media or to be at SEC Media Day. So I'll actually tell you that while it's going to be a lot and I'll be there Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, you'll be there Monday, Tuesday. It's going to be a lot, but there's actually a part of me that's like, hey, this might be fun and new. Maybe like, I don't really know what to expect. I don't know. How are you feeling?
Pretty well the same. I think one of the big things, you know, I haven't been on the beat a long time. I've covered some Big 12 stuff for a few years now, and then this will be going on year two, which is just crazy with OU Insider. But to see like all of the SEC personalities, you know, Paul Feinbaum's like the top one that just comes to mind. But seeing all those guys and kind of mixing it up with some of the new beats and, you know, getting to know those guys will be interesting. I'm curious, you know, you almost have like a preconceived notion of what people are like based on what their football team or their fan base is like. And so it's going to be interesting to see like how that aligns. I'm just excited overall about seeing those logos amongst the SEC logos. I just think it's really exciting, and it's going to be, it's just a new era. So being there and getting to see what the coach and players have to say is going to be pretty cool.
You mentioned the coaches and players. We found out a couple of days ago who OU is bringing, Brent Venables will be joined by Danny Stutzman, Billy Bowman, and Jackson Arnold. Now, that seems pretty obvious, three guys to bring. I mean, especially especially Danny Stutzman and Billy Bowman.
Yeah.
Are, you know, your senior defensive leaders. That fits pretty well the mold. But I actually thought OU bringing Jackson Arnold is pretty interesting. Just for me, because I started to, I was like, who did OU bring the last 3 years to conference media days? Obviously to Big 12 media days. And not only, there hasn't been an underclassman be a player representative for OU the last 3 years.
Yeah.
23, 22, 21. OU fans will likely remember that Lincoln Riley famously didn't bring Spencer Rattler to the 21 media days, despite him being the returning starter. So while it seems obvious, I think it actually says a lot bringing Jackson Arnold to, especially to OU's first ever trip to SEC media days. Does anything particularly stand out to you just about the contingency that OU's bringing? And is it, how noteworthy is it that Jackson Arnold is coming?
So, as a group, the four men that'll be representing Oklahoma, I think it says a lot, one, about the culture of the team. And really, it's like a good synopsis of the team, right? You've got experience on the defensive side of the ball and skill and lots of high expectations. And then for, you know, anybody outside of Norman or people that have been following Oklahoma really closely, Jackson Arnold is kind of a, you know what he was in high school, but kind of an unproven commodity, but certainly a guy with extremely high upside. And I think that's what Oklahoma's offense is. You know, it's unproven, but the upside is just incredible. So, you know, I do think having a personality like Danny Stutzman is, like, I think that really bodes well. I hope that he is kind of unleashed a little bit with some of that stuff. You know, with it being his final go around, first year in the SEC, lots of disrespect coming into this. You know, I kind of hope that he kind of wears his emotions a little bit on his sleeve, and, you know, not necessarily to a disrespectful point, but, you know, just to have a little chippiness is okay. You know what we're going to get from Billy Bowman? He's extremely well-versed in a media spotlight. So we know what we're going to get from him. With Jackson Arnold, I agree with you. I do think it's very interesting that he is one of the three, but I think it absolutely was the right move. Even though he is not your most veteran player on that side of the football, he undoubtedly has the most pressure, undoubtedly has the most riding on him this season. And for a quarterback of his pedigree, I don't think you're going to see him be uncomfortable up there. He's been in the spotlight dating back to high school, playing for, when you're the starting quarterback at Denton Guyer and you're the Gatorade Player of the Year, I think that just kind of comes with it, right? So, but I do think it's a really good thing to not only put him out there and let the world kind of know who he is a little bit, but you're really not just giving him the confidence, but you're giving the rest of the guys on the team, like, this is one of our guys. He is a representative of that roster as much as Billy Bowman and as much as Danny Stutzman by proxy here. So, you know, I know that he's stepped into that role. We've heard a lot about him stepping right into being a leader, you know, with Dylan Gabriel gone. And I'm excited to see, you know, how he has matured as a sophomore, because this is one of those situations where he is truly being forced to grow up immediately. Like, you know, it's not throw you out there as a freshman for 12 games, but it is a fast track. So it'll be interesting to see how he does. I expect him to do great, but I couldn't have been happier with the picks.
I think it's going to be interesting to hear him talk, because I think we got to see a little bit more of his personality during the spring, especially compared to the couple of times we got to talk to him when he was a true freshman. I mean, him saying that, him acknowledging that it kind of sucked being a backup last year when he said that this spring, that makes me wonder, like, again, bringing him to SEC Media Days and everything you just said, he is an unquestioned leader as a true sophomore. I do wonder if he feels emboldened to continue, you know, being a little bit candid. And these settings are always, really interesting. And also SEC Media Days, I think, is a little differently structured than Big 12 Media Days. I think everything's a little bit more formal. I think there are less like scrums and you know, and things like that. So it is going to be interesting nonetheless, but I did think it was like, it may seem obvious to bring him, but I didn't think it was a given that Jackson Arnold. So I think that's going to be interesting. And when you look at the grand scheme of everything, Brian, I mean, there's so many storylines with every team, and there's so many storylines to think about and talk about with OU specifically. I mean, obviously OU and Texas joining the conference is going to be one of the biggest talking points, but a couple of things. One, I mean, I think my biggest question, actually, I meant to ask you this. I only know that this is a little unfair, and I didn't tell you I was going to ask you this, but do you know who OU brought to the last three Media Days events? Can you name the player representatives? This is unfair, and I'm putting you on the spot.
Washington.
Yep.
Danny Stutzman was there last year, right?
Mm-hmm.
John Ualu was one mm-hmm. last year. Mm-hmm.
Two offensive players, obvious names.
Oh, Dylan Gabriel.
Yep.
And Jahlil Farouk.
Drake Stoops.
That's who. Oh, then, duh.
2022 was Ethan Downs, Marvin.
Oh, duh, yes.
Woody Washington and Gabriel. And then in 21, it was Jeremiah Hall and Nick Menito. Think about how long ago that feels.
Yeah, that's crazy.
When you think about compelling storylines and all this stuff, I mean, one thing that we're not getting that we would always get for Big 12 Media Days is the preseason rankings. We're not getting those until Friday. And while those are generally pointless, they create a lot of discussion. And I actually think this would have been interesting to see, where do people actually have OU in the pecking order of the SEC going into mm-hmm. the year? Brian, my biggest question is kind of twofold. It's one, what are reasonable expectations for OU going into the SEC? And two, what would be considered a successful season in the SEC? And while none of the players and Brent Venables are not going to put a record on it, they're not going to put a number on it, I mean, there's going to be questions about being able to compete in the SEC right away, and they know there's pressure to compete right away. So I'm going to ask you also, because you wrote something a couple of days ago at OUinsider.com about going game by game through OU schedule, because OU famously, their win loss over under is at 7.5, according to Vegas. You wrote a piece going through every game of the schedule. I'm curious, what should expectations be? Where do you think they'll finish in the preseason rankings, if you had to put a number on it? And what would be considered a successful season? And what did you, and all of that tied up in, all of that tied up into what went into the piece that you wrote a couple of days ago?
Okay. So for the preseason rankings, let's start there. Is this top 25 or within the SEC?
SEC.
My expectation is somewhere between 6 and 8.
I was going to say 6.
Yeah. You know, to be honest with you, I think what kind of worries me about the preseason media ranking would be that teams like Missouri, Texas A&M, LSU, Tennessee, teams like that, I think with the entire media contingent for the SEC, I think those teams might get a nod over Oklahoma. And so it wouldn't surprise me at all to see all of them ranked ahead of Oklahoma. Now, we know Georgia, we know Texas, we know Ole Miss, and probably Alabama. Those four are almost a lock to be ahead of OU in the preseason poll. So I would say somewhere between 6 and 8. I wouldn't be surprised. That being said, I think something that Oklahoma fans need to remember, and the last few pieces that I've written on Oklahoma, feature wise, I've really tried to hammer this home, is while there's a lot of doubt about Oklahoma because of the recency bias, with everything going on the last couple of years, no playoff appearances the last 2 years, or last 3 years. It's been a little bit for Oklahoma to get to this point, but everybody around the program feels like it's headed in an upward trajectory. The sentiment in the SEC is that Oklahoma is coming in and has no business competing in the mighty SEC. Now, I think what a lot of people fail to realize is before Nick Saban took over at Alabama, the SEC was not what it is today. The Big 12 was the juggernaut of the conferences at that point. Back in the heyday of Texas under Mac Brown, and Nebraska was coming off of its crazy levels of success. You had Colorado even was good. Texas A&M, I mean, it was just like, it was really tough year in, year out. And then Missouri, it was really tough. And so I think culture wise, Oklahoma is coming into this and fits really well. And so expectations wise, what will the expectations be? They're not going to change. They won't change. I don't expect Oklahoma fans, the program, anything that it stands for. I don't think any of that's going to change. I think, expectations are going to be to win 10 games, which Oklahoma's done more than anybody in the country, and compete for a national championship. That's going to be the expectations. Now, what is reasonable for year one? You were dealt a tough hand if you're Oklahoma. It's a tough schedule.
Discrepancy in OU Texas schedules. It's crazy.
So something that I heard on that is based on the last 10 years of like your winning percentage in the last 10 years is kind of something that went into that, into how they scheduled teams. And so that would make sense with Oklahoma, but I don't know. It's a tough schedule. I will say this. I don't look at that schedule and say about any of those teams, Oklahoma can't beat them. I don't say that about any of them. So now, am I telling you, oh, he's going to go 12-0? No, I am not telling you that by any means. That's not I don't think that's in the cards for the Sooners this year. It's just the difference with the SEC is you've got scheduled between the Texas and Ole Miss games, you have a South Carolina team coming to Norman that if you overlook them, they're good enough to beat you. Like that's a team that is going to be good enough to beat you if you're not fully prepared. So I think that plays into OU's favor, though, as crazy as that sounds. This team historically, there's not let down games on this, there's not let down games really on this schedule. You've got to get up every single week and play. And I think that's going to play into Oklahoma's favor a little bit, just with the makeup of this team. I think that's a good thing. The challenge is going to be there, especially with Brett Venables as the head coach. So expectations wise, what would be reasonable? I would say 8-4, 9-3 is probably like where my expectations would lie. Like 9-3 would be deemed a very successful season. That's probably good enough to have you in contention for a college football playoff appearance with as tough as the schedule is. Anything better than 9-3, if you go 10-2 on this schedule, I mean, you're talking about being if you're not in the SEC championship game, you are probably somewhere in that 5-6 range, right outside of those first four byes. So I think this is a tough slate. The back end of the schedule is rough, but I think it sets up well for Oklahoma to really be playing its best ball whenever the hardest games come up.
I'm stamping my claim, because I agree with you. I'm stamping my claim on 9-3. That's going to be my official preseason prediction. But I agree with you. I don't think there's a game on OU's schedule that they can't. There's not a game that they can't win.
Yeah.
I think the only thing that there's just a couple of question marks to me, and every season is different and yada, yada, yada. But it's like, you have to factor in a game or two that you don't see coming as a loss. I mean, Think about Kansas last year.
That's a
game that shouldn't have lost.
Yep.
Even Oklahoma State, it's a game that shouldn't have lost. Now some of the personnel is different. You've got brand new offensive and defensive coordinators. It is a whole new ball game. But like, don't look at South Carolina's record last year and assume that's a win.
Yep.
Don't look at Auburn's record last year and assume that's a win. It's at Auburn. But you think? I mean, think about OU going to Cincinnati last year and how that was a tough one.
Yeah.
I mean, that was a tough one. There's going to win at Auburn it's not going to be easy. I'm really curious about what, and it's probably going to be just coach speak and player speak, but I am curious about how they are handling the pressure to come in and compete in the SEC right away. I'm curious about what they have to say about that, and especially Brent Venables, right? I mean, I think it's going to be actually interesting.
Yeah, I think the big thing with Brent Venables is like, he's obviously going to say the expectations never change here. It's because it's the standard, right? Like that's the hot button word, is the standard, living up to it, and preparing that way. I think the reason why, and this kind of ties back into my story the other day, the 7-5 total is probably the best representation of that would be the fact that Vegas probably sees the vast majority of Oklahoma's games in the SEC this year being one score games one way or another. Like that's just the style of football that you're going to see Oklahoma have to play. That bodes well, considering that they probably have, outside of Alabama, probably the best defensive unit on that schedule, probably belongs to Oklahoma. I mean, and I think they potentially could be better than Alabama on the defensive side of the ball. So that bodes well. But when you're playing in that many one-score games, that's why you see these 8-4 SEC teams go into a bowl game and play somebody of similar schedule caliber and just blow them out of the water. It's because they're every week it's a meat grinder. Now, I will say, outside of Bama and Georgia, outside of Georgia with Nick Saban gone now, it really has been an extremely top heavy league when it comes to national title contenders. But that middle tier is higher than probably any other conference in the country. So, the expectations aren't going to change. I wouldn't expect. I would say the standard is going to be something you hear a ton. And as SEC people get more familiar with what Oklahoma actually is, and the tradition that they bring in to the SEC, I think those expectations will. I think they will get back to being what Oklahoma fans expect them to be, and as far as the national narrative goes, after the whole wave of things kind of subsides. Because I mean, if we're looking at this in a bubble 5 years from now, do we expect Oklahoma or Texas to be more competitive over the next 5 years? You know, if you look at history, it's probably Oklahoma, but there's no way of knowing that, right? Like it, you can't, we only have what we have to go off of. And historically, Oklahoma over the last 15 years has won 11 of 15 against Texas and has been the better team, but you wouldn't know that by asking anybody in the SEC right now. So, yeah, expectations are high still. I don't think that's going to change at a place like Oklahoma though. So, but I definitely don't agree with the sentiment that OU is about to become the next Nebraska or, you know, all of that hoopla that we continue to hear.
Nebraska doesn't get top five recruiting classes and recruit like Venables in this coaching
staff. As soon as Nebraska lost its ties to the state of Texas, they were doomed. Right? And you're not going to out recruit Ohio State in Big Ten country or Michigan or it just. Anyways,
Brian, I have a couple other things to throw at you, but real quick before I do that, I want to tell you about something. I want to tell you about Chubbies, Brian. That's what I want to tell you about. I want to tell you about Chubbies. And the reason why I want to tell you about Chubbies is that they are a lifestyle apparel brand that has no equivalent in all of human history. It's because Chubbies has crafted the most comfortable clothing with the most unique designs ever. And it's near impossible to wear them without being filled with the sense that life is truly beautiful, man. Awe-inspiring. It's a mystery with no fixed destination. So now why not look good? Why not feel good along the journey of life, Brian? But seriously, Chubbies offers a huge variety of high-quality men's apparel, from super stretchy shorts and swim trunks and 3-inch seam links to pants, polos, button-down shirts for when you need to hit up your fave weekend brunch spot. When others see you sporting Chubbies in the wild, they're bound to say, oh, wow, that person, they're wearing Chubbies. I now immediately respect them and think they're cool. For a limited time, Chubbies is giving our listeners 20% off your order with our exclusive code. That code is OU Insider, all lowercase, at chubbyshorts.com. That's OU Insider at chubbyssshorts.com. Make sure to head over there, use our code, get yourself some Chubbies today. Brian, I think the other thing that's interesting to think about, because, look, we could dive into, Jackson Arnold, is he going to be ready as a true sophomore with one start under his belt? And we've kind of already touched on that. Yeah, and there's another storyline. There's other things about how's OU's defense going to fare. You know, we're going to ask Stutzman and Bowman about that with so many returning guys coming back. One thing that I do think is interesting, especially to ask Brent Venables about, is about some of OU's NIL stuff. Some of the salary cap stuff, especially recently, not only just because of the transition to the SEC and NIL is just a different animal, but you think about officially naming Curtis Lofton as the team's general manager. You think about OU. They announced, I think yesterday, a new structure for their recruiting operations. Yep. They're partnering with a former Philadelphia Eagles VP of football administration, Jake Rosenberg, to really dive deeply into all things NIL, all things recruiting. I think Lofton is going to be a huge part of that. And I think it's about kind of looking at the long-term future of NIL, the long-term future of potential salary cap, you know, possibilities, things like that. I think really more than anything, I think gearing up for a reality where college sports looks more like the NFL, yeah. Where college football looks more like the NFL. I wonder what Brent Venables will have to say about all that, because, I mean, he talked about Curtis Lofton a little bit in the spring, but now that Curtis is officially the general manager and now that OU's announced this partnership with Rosenberg, I don't know. You find any of that compelling? You think that's going to be something to talk about at SC Media Days?
I think it will be. If for nothing else, because Oklahoma is doing its best to be on the cutting edge of this transition. It's something that with the House versus NCAA ruling, with the settlement, it's going to be interesting to see how the rest of not just college football, but college athletics as a whole takes this. And so for Oklahoma to go out of its way and go and get not just a former VP of football operations, but a guy that Howie Roseman really respects, and that's one of the go-getters whenever it comes to GMs in the NFL. And you know, as much as you probably hate to hear it, I mean, that guy, I mean, if there are trades going on in the off season, if there's acquisition going on in the off season, chances are the Eagles are probably tied into it in some way, shape or form. So, you love to have somebody that's been a part of that process at Oklahoma now. And I think that's exciting. That being said, I think this is a slow burn. Like, I don't know that it's going to immediately like affect the 2025 class. The wheels of justice turn very slow. And so it's going to be something that we see just slowly be integrated into college sports over the next season or two, and maybe even further along than that. But I do think Oklahoma being proactive and being one of the teams, one of the programs being progressive about this is good. And I think it'll certainly be a talking point.
As a Cowboys fan, screw the Eagles. That's all I have to say about that. Brian, I told you I was going to ask you another fun question. So I'm going to give you another fun question on the spot, putting you in the hot seat. Rank these four opposing SEC coaches in terms of who you think is going to be most interesting or most compelling to listen to at SEC Media Days. Josh Heupel, Shane Beamer, Eli Drinkwitz, Jeff Lebby. From most interesting to least interesting.
From an OU perspective, there's a lot of hatred in Oklahoma for Drinkwitz right now. So I'll put Heupel one still, just because I think that being, like it or not, if you're a Tennessee fan and you're somehow listening to this, all of the frustrations, all of the disrespect, all of the feelings that Oklahoma has towards the SEC being newcomers and being like the new kid on the block, all of that's going to get, it's going to come to a head when Tennessee comes to town at the end of September. Like, I expect that to be as wild an atmosphere as we've seen in Norman in quite some time. You throw on top of that, the last quarterback to win a national championship for the Sooners on the other head, on the other sidelines, as a head coach, I think that's going to be number one for me. So I would say Heupel one, Drinkwitz is probably two, for better or for worse. I think that it, I'll put it this way. If anything comes out of Drinkwitz's mouth that has something to do with Oklahoma, it will be immediately become a headline. It just will. Like, that's what you have. That's been just kind of a product of what we've seen happen on social media over the last several months. And, it is what it is. I mean, that's an old Big 12 rivalry that's going to be rehashed, and it's going to be,
that game is going to be so toxic.
It's going to be hostile like that. It is going to be, I told Parker the other day on the live, I will have nothing OU related whenever I am in Columbia, like nothing on me that even says that I'm from the state of Oklahoma. So I just want to blend in, do my job and leave. Same thing for LSU later on in the season, but Drinkwitz too. I would say basically because of recency that Jeff Lebby would be three, just because there might be some storylines come out of, you know, maybe what he took away from the way that Brent Venables did his thing. Shane Beamer. Now I will say this, out of the four, I think my favorite person out of the four to listen to, if I was just going to have a conversation, would absolutely be Shane Beamer. I love Shane Beamer. You know, as far as storylines go, compelling, I would say, that's probably how I would rank them. I'd rank them Heupel, Drinkwitz, Lebby, Beamer.
I just wish, because, man, and I've said this before, Jeff Lebby, that whole move to Mississippi State is so interesting.
That's odd.
And the way it happened, it was pretty, it was a pretty unceremonious leave.
Yep.
For Jeff Lebby. And to go to, you're going to Mississippi State as a first-time head coach. And there's no denying that OU's offenses the last 2 years were some of the best in the country. There were also some genuine head-scratching moments, and you're going to go take over a program that just went 5-7 that now has OU in Texas. And it's a pretty risky gambit for, I'm not saying it won't work, but I actually think it's something OU fans should be very curious about how it goes. I just wish Jeff Lebby was better in front of a camera.
Yeah.
He's just not.
Yeah.
I've been in many scrums with him. I've been in many press conferences with him. And look, that's not even really a criticism, because I get it.
He's a football media
coach. Are a different thing, and everybody looks at them differently. He's just not that interesting of a person on camera in media interviews. So that probably diminishes, because if he had like a fiery person, imagine this was Lane Kiffin. Imagine he was Lane Kiffin going from OU to go coach Mississippi State.
Yeah.
Think about how that would be easy number one to me.
Yeah.
But I agree with you, except I think I'm going to put Drinkwitz at one from an OU perspective.
Yeah.
I think I would go Drinkwitz, Heupel, Lebby, Beamer. OU Missouri has potential to become there's so many great rivalries in the SEC, but I think OU Missouri has the opportunity to be one of the best easily.
Yeah.
There's a genuine hatred.
Yep.
It's different from OU Texas. Like it's different.
Yeah.
There's not even really respect there.
Yeah.
Like OU Texas.
It feels kind of like Bedlam a little bit. It's a little different because that's in state, but this is a conversation I was curious. I wanted your thoughts on this. If it wasn't Missouri, I think the one thing that could potentially keep that from becoming like a real fist fight kind of rivalry is if it continues to be as lopsided as it was when they were in the Big 12. I mean, I think it's like 67-24. So like it's pretty lopsided. If it wasn't them, I think a cool rivalry for Oklahoma could end up being somebody like Tennessee. Just with Heupel kind of being like the starting point of that, both extremely proud fan bases. Another one, Texas A&M and Oklahoma fans do not get along very well. There's kind of like that hate triangle between them, Texas, and Oklahoma. So interesting. But Missouri makes the most sense. I would say Arkansas does geographically because it's like perfect, but because Fayetteville and Norman aren't that far away. But I don't think the expectations at Arkansas are high enough for that to be what OU Missouri could be.
Oh, and I really don't think there's enough animosity built into OU and Arkansas. They've barely ever played.
Yep.
Now, if you consistently, fan the flames and had them play every year, but right. OU Arkansas play every year. And that's kind of the thing to me is like, OU and Tennessee are going to play this year and next year. OU and Missouri, but to me, I think the one thing that would fuel a real rivalry or consistent rivalry is consistently playing each other.
Yep.
And that's where and maybe I'm looking into it, but like OU and Missouri, I think that's sealed. I think it can really only go up in terms of hatred.
Yes.
But I do wonder, what if OU and Missouri, they play this year and next year, what if they don't play again until 2027?
Yeah, that would suck.
2028.
Yeah.
It's possible. That be weird?
Yeah, it would be. That does feel like one that needs to be protected. Like they need to protect a couple of rivalries, I think. Like Texas is going to have theirs with A&M and both Oklahoma protected every year. So, and there is, like it or not, when you've played a team 90 times, like Oklahoma and Missouri have, there's history there. There has been rivalry in the past between the two. I mean, it does make sense, and it makes sense geographically. So, like, it would be a pretty easy one. I do like, and this is something that I wanted to ask you as well. With the current makeup of the Big 12, with the current makeup of the SEC, with Oklahoma and Texas kind of be joined at the hip coming into the SEC, does it not feel like culturally that this fits Oklahoma better? Like this, the fit is, as far as tradition, fan bases, just like the importance placed on football, it does feel like this conference has more teams at that level of fandom, I guess, or expectations for football. So it just, you look around, LSU's won national championships, Georgia, Alabama, obviously, Tennessee, just a couple of years before Oklahoma won its last national championship, Florida. I mean, you just kind of go down the list. There's teams there that Auburn. I mean, there's teams there that have pushed for that. And so to me, it just feels like this fit, while it may take a little bit, I think is going to end up being more of like a place of belonging for Oklahoma than the end of what their tenure in the Big 12 looked like.
Yeah, I would say that this probably feels a little bit more natural already than I thought it was going to. Mm-hmm. I agree with you. But I do think because of all that, that is another reason why I think there's pressure on OU to compete right away.
Yep.
Like, how deflating would it be to go 7-5 in your first season in the SEC?
Yep.
You know? So I think there is, I'm not saying that's going to happen, and I don't expect that to happen. That would shock me. Anything less than 8 wins would absolutely shock me.
Agreed.
But there, that's when you get into that intricate balance between what are reasonable expectations, because it's like you laid out in your story. I mean, you said the ceiling is 11-1, and I absolutely agree with you. If everything for OU hits, they can go 11-1. If everything falls apart, they can go 7-5.
Yep.
So that's where you kind of, where do you have that? What is the most realistic expectations that you can really have? But so all that being said, I do think this is going to feel more natural. That has been something in the back of my head. Like, how is it actually going to feel when OU's in the SEC? I think it's going to feel pretty damn normal for the most part. But I do think I think it's slightly contingent on OU being competitive right away.
Yeah.
Is what I would. The last thing I'll ask you is, what team outside of OU are you most curious to hear from at SEC Media Days? Because there's a lot of answers you could go here, but my short answer is Ole Miss. Because Lane Kiffin's a character. Also, his dad, Monty Kiffin, just passed away. Obviously, rest in peace. But Lane Kiffin's a character. They went 11-2. They have the third best odds in the SEC, or to win the SEC.
Yeah,
they have the third best odds. They are real championship expectations. OU plays Ole Miss at Ole Miss. And I don't even think they're really a dark horse. I think they're a legitimate contender to win the SEC. So for a, maybe not a hot take, but for a slightly different pick, I'm going to say Ole Miss. What say you?
No, I don't think that's a hot take at all. I would say that's probably like right in line with where I would fall. Ole Miss is going to be incredibly compelling, if for nothing else, that Lane Kiffin is the head coach there. But yeah, they are expected to be really good. I don't have the national championship odds in front of me, but I would imagine they're somewhere in the top 5 or 6. They had an incredible portal offseason, and they brought back a lot of big time players.
Their two losses last year were to Bama and Georgia, and they only play Bama, I think.
Yeah. Yes. And well, no, they I looked that
they
up.
Only lost. I just looked this up yesterday. Okay. Their two losses last year were to Bama and Georgia, and they only play one of them.
Okay, so they only played Georgia. That's right. They played Georgia.
They only played Georgia. Sorry, they only played Georgia.
Yes, and they are Georgia beat them 52-17 last year. So yeah. That one, oof, that is, yeah, that's going to be a lot of statements to be made about that game.
Look at the rest of their schedule, though.
Yeah. It's they can handle it.
Yeah.
Yeah, they can handle it.
They could go 11-1.
Correct.
They really could. Yeah. 10-2, 11-1.
Yep. They could also go. They could also go 9-3. I mean, going to the swamp is tough. I don't know. We'll. I do think that that is a team that has high expectations, and they should be high. If I wasn't gonna go Ole Miss, I think Alabama would be my pick. Things are just going to be different. Like, you know, Nick Saban, and I'm not taking anything away from Kalen DeBoer at all. He is a fantastic football coach. I think he is legitimately a top 10 football coach, top 8 football coach in the country, period. Like, he's proven that. He was very successful with what he was able to put together at Washington. However, I just, replacing somebody like Nick Saban is, I mean, it's impossible. Like, you think replacing, again, no offense whatsoever, replacing Bob Stoops was difficult. Finding a way, and Oklahoma is still transitioning out of that because, you know, their plan A didn't work out. It was different. Replacing somebody that won, what, 7 national championships at a place in the last 20 years? Like, that's unheard of. It's going to be – and look, they still, roster-wise, Alabama's fine. They have plenty of talent there. It's just culturally, it's going to be different there. And I expect – the board to say the right things. I expect the players to say the right things. Like, that's just part of the allure of media days at the SEC. Like you said, it's pretty buttoned up. I expect some of that, but when they step out on the field and they're playing that SEC schedule, Nick Saban was one of the best defensive minds. His mind transcended football because as offenses grew, which really throughout his time at Alabama, we saw offenses go from like wide open air raid to option style to spread. And then it became like this spread option hybrid. And then now we've got like every play is run pass option of some sort for a lot of teams. And he was able to like keep his defenses, regardless of that change, was able to keep his defenses near the top of the game, and that's just incredible. And I don't know what to expect on that side of the ball. I do think that the pieces there are certainly in place, but I just think things at Alabama are going to be different. I just do. Right now, if I was to pick, I think that if there was a dividing line in national championship contenders on a yearly basis, I think it's Georgia and then everybody else right now. I don't think Alabama fits in that same category that they used to. I think everyone from Bama to Oklahoma to Texas to LSU, I think those teams are all probably more closely grouped together now than any of them are with Georgia. So
they all have something to prove. Bama's not used to having something to prove. They've correct. Got something to prove.
Right, exactly. So that would be my pick. I would say Alabama, if not Lane Kiffin and Ole Miss.
Should be a fun, chaotic, stressful couple days at the Omni Hotel in Dallas, Texas. But we will have you all covered here on this YouTube channel. We'll have you covered over at OUinsider.com. Make sure, if you're not a VIP member already, make sure you head over there. Become a VIP member. Look, we're just a couple weeks away from fall camp. We're just a couple days away from SEC Media Days. Look, there's so much stuff out there right now about Nyjah Kennedy at Stanford. So much swirling around. If you want the latest, if you want to know what's going on, make sure to head over to OUinsider.com. Not a better time to get signed up, set up, ready to go. We'll have multiple days covered for you. at the Omni Hotel for SEC Media Days, and then we'll be back here on this podcast to recap it all next week. Until then, we'll see you guys next time on the Oklahoma Drum.